George Mueller says the beginning of anxiety is the end of faith, and the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. One of the things that we have become accustomed to hearing these days is sustainability. We stop and think about how the things that we purchase and the clothes that we wear and the things that we experience, we want to know how they're going to hold up. Are they going to sustain? Are they going to endure? Are they going to be worth the money that we pay for it? Sustainability, that which enables us to press forward as people of faith, those who are not quitters in life's journey, those Christians that have shown sustenance through the years. I was talking with one of my children the other day, and I said, look back over the last few years, and what are the things that distressed you and you worried about that have not come to fulfillment? And then I looked at my child and I said, was it worth it? Was it worth all the stress and all the pressures that were brought to bear on you? Did it help your health, or did it dramatically affect your health in a negative type of way? One guy was talking about worry, and he says, worry is like holding a glass of water. And said, you hold it, and for a little while, it's okay. But after a while, that glass gets heavy and heavier and heavier and heavier. And so, as we think about our lives and the things in life that we worry about, then ask yourself, if in the midst of your worrying, are you trusting God? A young couple was having problems in their relationship. And I said to them, where is God in your relationship? And they said, he doesn't exist. I said, therein might be your problem. As we look at this passage of Scripture today and we hear these words that call us not to worry, there was a story told about a man, and it was obviously he was a worrier, what we would call a worry wart. You could see by the countenance of his face that he was a worrier. And one day, his countenance changed. It was obvious that he had a new outlook on life. He was smiling. Instead of being hooped over, he was standing up. And somebody said, what did you do? He said, I hired somebody else to worry for me. Says, my goodnesses, how much do you charge? Or does he? You pay him for him to worry for you? He said, I give him $1,000 a week. They said, wow, that's a lot of money to give somebody to worry for you. Well, what happens if you don't pay him? He said, that's his worry. As we think about what Christ has spoken to us in this passage of Scripture. The other day I was out and I looked and I saw the first little blade of a jonquil sticking its head through the soil. I saw some birds down by the water. And I was watching them as they were there. I saw the big bird as it took wing and just flew with such power and such grace. And I thought about this passage. I thought about the birds of the air and how that God has made them so beautiful. And in just a few weeks, it will be the robins and the bluebirds will be arriving if they're not here already. And we'll see them again and hear their chirping and be able to look at them and think about how beautiful God has made them. How did they find their way back here? How did they know where Greenwood was? The story was told about a ship out in the middle of the ocean. A big mass, and out of the sky came birds landing on this ship and resting. One of the birds was a little wren, and it flew down to one of the mates and landed on his leg and went up his britchy leg. He just sat there for a while and warmed himself from the body's heat, scurried back down, and flew off again, back out across the ocean. The birds that landed on the mast, they too gathered up and they flew on. And God is like that for us as Christians. God is that source of rest, that source of comfort. I want to remind some of my young people to go and talk to some of these gray-haired folks and talk to them about the issues of life that they have experienced and talk to them about sustainability. Talk to them about endurance. Talk to them about courage. Talk to them about how you overcome in the midst of struggles. And I hope some of you gray-haired folks we'll talk to our children about love and about commitment and about sustainability and about God. How God has enabled you to make it through the experiences of life. About God and what God means to you in these days of your life. We need not to worry because God has enabled us to come through to this day, to this time. I have never been one that's been extremely invested in the stock market. I have some minister friends that are. They've got more money than me now. But one of the things that I do know is that the stock market goes up and it goes down. Things change. We talk about the gas crisis today, and I remember my mother and dad talking about times when there were food stamps and gas ration stamps, rather, war bonds, war stamps, and they couldn't even find gas. And I remember them telling the stories of life and of laughter and of being out on the interstate and coming to a service station and having no gas and having to spend the night there in the back seat of the car waiting for the service station to open. So stories of endurance, of not being so worried about the things of life, but to realize that God is with us. And we hear that story all year long, And we, especially during the Lenten, the Advent season, as we talk about Emmanuel, that God is with us. And now in the Lenten series, we'll be talking about Christ as He came to be with us and to die. And then He says to us, don't worry. Don't worry, when I leave you, I'm going to send you a comforter. A comforter. Someone that will be with you. Somebody that will strengthen you. Somebody that will enable you to have words to say when you're challenged. Do we think about the Holy Presence being with us now? The realities of our life, and we know them well, we do have those experiences sometimes that seems to sap our spiritual selves. I submit to you that if you're in the need of a spiritual renewal, changing churches is not what you need. If a church is in the midst of a crisis, changing preachers is not necessarily what we need. But to be renewed and to let those burning embers, those sparks, to be reignited. I was talking with some of my minister friends the other day, and I shared with you a few weeks ago, I have found myself throughout my Christian journey always needing renewing experiences. I've had many times of what I would call conversion type experiences. They haven't all been in the midst of what we used to call a revival. They haven't always been in camps. Been times of personal reflection and prayer. Thank God for those times when we do have those, as Wesley had, those heartwarming experiences. But I submit that I suspect that Wesley had more than one heartwarming experience. It's just like a vacation. You don't have just one vacation in a lifetime. Now, indeed, you might have one special one, but we go on vacations, most of us, year after year, to be renewed. Valentine's Day just passed, and you don't tell your significant other that you love them one time in life and it's enough for a lifetime. Do you? But you share that love over and over and over. And it's the same in our journey of faith. We are renewed over and over. And Jesus calls to us today and He says, look what's around you. Look at the birds. Your heavenly Father loves them. Look at the lilies of the field. They don't toil, they don't spin. Look at them. Solomon in all of his glory wasn't arrayed as one, and yet the heavenly Father loves you and has given Himself for you. God doesn't put us in a bubble. God doesn't cause us not to have to pay gas at $3 a gallon like everyone else. God places us right smack dab in the middle of life. And in the midst of what everyone else is experiencing, we find phenomenal calm and phenomenal peace. If you remember the story of Wesley, it was those Moravians, when even their children were calm in the midst of the storm, and Wesley was so moved that even to this day, we still have a wonderful relationship with the Moravian church. Wesley realized that these individuals had taught their children the essence of faith and hope and courage, that God was in charge. And God speaks to us this morning and says to us, I'm not going to leave you. Tug McGraw, 1973, New York Mets. He was the one that led them to the World Series. He was the one that began to proclaim, you got to believe. And he tells the story of standing on the mound and looking down at the plate, and there stood Willie Stargell. And said he thought about what was going to be happening 100,000 years from now. And he came to the perception that what he did in the World Series in 1973 wasn't going to matter much 100,000 years from now. He said, you got to believe. And we remember that he was the one that threw the last pitch when the Philadelphia Phillies won the World Series. And he still said, you got to believe. In the midst of all that's going on in our world today, regardless of who's in the White House, regardless of who's in Congress, and regardless of who stands behind this pulpit, do you believe? Is your faith something that is meaningful to you and it affects your life and affects the way you relate in all aspects of your life? Or is this just something that you come to because you've been doing it for so long? If it is, then let God renew you and restore you. Look at the lilies of the field. Look at the birds. God loves you more than all of those. Don't worry. Be happy. Be happy.